Heavenly Father, I pray that you help me tonight as I preach on this topic. Lord, I know that this is a problem and just a problem for just about everybody. And Lord, there's so much that your word teaches us on this subject of money and how to manage our money. Lord, even though this is a different kind of message, certainly different than the kind of message I preached this morning, I pray that you'll help us to look at this with open ears, help us to accept this as scripture, help me to stay close to the scripture, and Lord, just give us wisdom as we steward the things that you've given us. Lord, help us to realize that everything we own belongs to you. And we are just giving back a small portion of that, and we're responsible for taking care of the things that you've given us. Lord, I pray that you'll help us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to give you several introductory statements this morning. I gave you kind of a detailed outline tonight, so hopefully you can follow along with that. The first introductory statement that I want to give you tonight is that the Bible talks a lot about money. It really does. Sometimes preachers are accused of talking about money all the time or talking about giving all the time. They say that they talk about that too much, but in actuality, the Bible mentions money and possessions like 800 times. I believe it is the second most discussed topic in the entire scripture, okay? It's a major theme of the Bible, and the Bible talks about how our attitude towards money and possessions, it talks about those things getting out of control in our life, but it also gives us a lot of wisdom in this area. Okay, and so it's totally within bounds of Scripture to have a lesson like this tonight, a message like this tonight, because it's something the Bible talks a lot about. All right, the second introductory statement tonight is that having and getting money are not evil. Loving money and living to get money are. All right, some people, some Christians get the idea that it's bad to be. To have any kind of money, any kind of savings account that's not living by faith, that if they have any kind of wealth to their name at all, that there's something wrong with that. And I would say that that's a very unbiblical idea, because many examples in the Old Testament of men that were very faithful men, almost every example in the Old Testament of faithful men, also were blessed by God financially. People like Abraham, who was extremely wealthy. Job, the wealthiest man in the world. Solomon, the wealthiest man in the world. All those people were faithful people that walked with God, and yet God rewarded them with riches and made a point to note that he rewarded them with riches. Okay? But the flip side of that coin is what we see in the New Testament. We see verses like Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Let me read that for you. It says, "And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness." Notice this next phrase. "For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." A man's life consisteth not of the abundance of things which he possesseth. Okay? It is a bad, bad, bad thing to live for money. To live for possessions. If all your life is, at the end of the day, is a bank account balance, if all your life stands for is some stuff that you have, that's not a life worth living, okay? That's pretty sad. And it is certainly not Christian. Money has a way, probably as much as anything, a very insidious way of becoming a god in our life, okay? It is a great servant. It is a terrible god, okay? It's great to be employed for the things that God wants us to do in our life. It's a terrible thing to be a goal in and of itself. Let me read another verse. Turn with me to Proverbs 23. I asked you to be in Proverbs. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 23 and verses 4 and 5. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, "Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven." It's probably shouldn't joke about this, but how many of you saw some of your riches fly like an eagle towards heaven the last couple months in your 409Ks or your IRAs because of the stock market? Okay? It happens. There's been many, many, many recorded times in history where people have lost everything, everything that they've worked for. It doesn't matter that the FDIC insures your bank account, okay? You could still, things could still happen. And so it's a foolish thing to labor constantly and think constantly about being rich. It's not something to live for, all right? A third introductory thing, and we're going to kind of dwell on this theme a lot tonight, is this: debt is bad and should be avoided at all cost. Debt is bad and should be avoided at all cost. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth one another hath fulfilled the law." You guys are in Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. What it says, "The rich ruleth over the poor." Notice this next phrase: "The borrower is servant to the lender." When you get in debt, you are literally entering into a servant-master relationship with the people you're in debt to. Okay, you are indebted to those people. It's a bad idea to get into debt. We'll talk about this a little bit more in a minute. Okay. Introductory statement number 4. It is wicked. That's the Bible word. It is wicked to borrow with no intention to repay. It is wicked to borrow with no intention to repay. Psalm 37, verse 21 says, "The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth." How many of you know people, I know people, that it's many times in their life, they almost go through a cycle where they get in lots and lots of debt and then they declare bankruptcy. They walk away, live poor for a couple years and do it again. And they do it again, okay? If you borrow money, you are obligated to pay that money back. That's not to say bankruptcy is always bad. There are, I think there's a biblical precedent for that, and there's times where that's needed, okay? But if you have a flippant view towards borrowing money and you don't think of it as an obligation, then that is wrong. That's wrong. It's something you have to, when you borrow money and you have no intention of paying it back, that is wicked. It's wicked, all right? Last introductory thought here. Number 5, God wants us to work hard to have to give. Ephesians 4:28 says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." One of your goals in labor should be to have enough to give. Okay, now I think we should give, period. I think we should give of 10%. I'm into tithing. I think we should tithe. Okay, I think you should give more than that. Give to missions. Okay, but you need to work hard so that you have something to give. You should work hard so that if there's a friend or a family member that's in trouble, you can have enough to help them out. Okay, we are to work to give. God, that's something God wants us to do. Now, the bulk of this message, I've got, I think, 9 points. I don't know why I couldn't come up with a 10th one, but I've got 9 points. 9 things. Should have come up with 10. 9 things. I could just what? 8? Okay, 8 things. 8 things that will make you poor. 8 things that will make you poor. Okay? And all of these are based on the scripture. Okay, so the first thing is debt. Debt will make you poor. I did something today that I haven't done, to my shame, and probably should have done a long time ago. I looked at all of the debt that I have and figured out how much every month it's costing me to carry that debt. That's money that goes just to the bank or just to the credit card company every month. And it was not, I don't have tons and tons of debt, people, but it was a significant amount of money, okay? You know, it's crazy how much we pay in debt. If you just have a lot of, I think the average family in America carries $5,000 to $8,000 in credit card debt month to month. If you just pay minimum payments, almost all of that goes to interest and not to principal, and it just adds up. And you are giving a significant amount of money all the time to completely avoidable, most of the time, debt. And if you were to take that money and save it, the opposite would be true. You would be getting interest, not paying interest. Okay? So debt will keep you poor. Debt will keep you poor. All right? Never ever borrow for things that you want. Only borrow for things that you need. And only after you've exhausted everything else. Okay? So ask yourself before you go into debt, really before you buy anything, do I really need this? Can I get by without this? Okay? How am I going to pay for this? Am I committed to paying for this? It's something to ask. Brother Fox talked about this in his lesson. Is it a depreciating asset or an appreciating asset? You realize that when you buy a brand new car, it loses 20% of its value as soon as you drive it off the lot. Okay? If it's a, Brother Ernie, help me with this. If it's a $30,000 car, how much do you lose by driving it off the lot? $6,000. Is that right? Yeah. Wow. Okay? If you buy a car that's 4 years old, which is usually pretty nice, you're paying 50% of what you would buy for the first 4 years. Because cars are a depreciating asset. Your house, on the other hand, is usually an appreciating asset. So if you've got to go into debt to buy a house, which most people do, that makes a whole lot more sense than going into debt to have a big car payment. Another thing to ask, are you getting a good deal? Is this a bargain price? Can you get a better deal if you wait, if you don't absolutely need this thing, okay? By the way, good deals can get you in trouble, right, financially? Just because something's on sale doesn't mean that you need it, all right? Is the person I am buying this from someone that I can trust? Is there something cheaper that I can substitute? These are questions to ask, but the big thing to keep in mind here is do everything you can to stay out of debt. Debt will hurt you. Debt will keep you down. Debt will keep you poor. All right, number two, a second thing the Bible teaches us that keeps us poor is laziness. Laziness. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24 says this. It says, The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Verse 27, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious. Okay? The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. That's a good sentence. That's a good verse to memorize and to think about from time to time. If you are diligent, if you work hard, okay? If you work on having good habits, financial habits, and you work hard, you go to work every day, you earn a decent, not a decent, but a fair paycheck for a fair day work, okay? And you're careful to be wise about that, God's going to bless you with that, okay? Not right away. It might take some time. It might take decades, but God will bless you for that. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. Look at these verses. It says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. It's using the example of the ant, which works hard to store things for a time when it can't gather. It saves some things up. It works hard at it. When it's time to work hard, there is a time to work hard. There's a time to work lots and lots of hours. God is not against work. Work is good for us. Laziness will make you poor and keep you poor. And some people, not everybody, but some people are poor because they're lazy. There's people out there that are poor because they don't want to work. I know people that live a very poor life. I mean, they live hand to mouth. And the only reason they live, one of the only reasons they live hand to mouth is because they refuse to work. Or they work the very minimum they possibly can. And so they never have enough. Laziness will make you poor. Number three, a third thing that the Bible teaches will make us poor. Look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. The Bible says, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase." Look at chapter 20, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. The Bible says, "Even a child..." It's not the right verse. All right, I'll read you the verse. I'll read you the verse, and maybe somebody else can find it on their phone or something. Proverbs 20, the one that I have is, "An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed." Okay? 2021. Okay. Right there. Good. All right, Proverbs 20:21. Okay, what's the idea there? The idea is that greed and get-rich-quick kind of schemes will make you poor. Okay? How many of you have noticed? It used to be, it probably still is. I don't watch television, so I don't really know. Okay? The infomercials, all the infomercials that promise, if you just follow these steps, you'll be, you know, you can follow this proven method and you'll be rich. You know, and it promises you these crazy, insane results. Or you see an advertisement that says, "You can make $200,000 in your pajamas working at home." You guys ever seen anything like that? YouTube is really bad with the YouTube advertisements. There's always some guru, you know, showing you his Lamborghini and telling you, "I want to tell you how I went from a trailer park to this house in Malibu and this beautiful Lamborghini." Okay. Those kind of things will make you poor. Those kind of things will make you poor. Because they keep you from doing what you ought to be doing. They keep you from the labor you ought to be putting yourself into. Okay? Greed is what that comes down to. God is not against us saving and amassing some things. Okay? But in the book of Proverbs, you see the opposite of get rich quick. You see get rich slow, the old-fashioned way. By working, by saving, by being wise with what God gives you, by stewarding the things God gives you. And if you try to take shortcuts, it will hurt. There'll be problems. It will make you poor. All right? Number four. Fourth thing will make you poor. Worldly pleasures will make you poor. Proverbs 21, probably same page here. Proverbs 21, verse 21 says, "He that followeth..." 21:17. I can't read today. Proverbs 21:17 says, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich." That's a good verse to take note of there. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, and he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Okay? How many of you know that there are expensive habits that are easy to fall into? That will keep you poor, okay? The one that pops in my mind is cigarettes. It's like $7 a pack, and those people smoke a pack of cigarettes every day. Never mind the health cost of that. You develop that. That's going to keep you poor. Or, alcohol. Alcohol is ridiculous. I'm not shopping for it, okay? But it is very, very expensive. Very expensive, especially if you're consuming it on a regular basis. Scratch tickets, chewing tobacco, stuff like this will keep you poor. But you know that we're kind of picking on one end of society here. There's plenty of things that are more acceptable that we can habitually get into that will keep us poor. Fast fashion, having to go and buy clothes every month that you don't really tend to keep for a long period of time, replace over and over and over again. Subscription services, like boxes of stuff that come in the mail over and over every month that are overpriced when you don't even need it. Trips to Starbucks all the time and getting lattes that cost $4 or $5, okay? Going to the movies all the time. Manicures and pedicures. Am I stepping on anyone's toes here? Okay, I hope so. All of those things some of those things are bad, okay? But a lot of those things aren't necessarily evil in moderation. But the problem is they can quickly become habitual, and they can drain our money, and we're not stewarding what God has given us well, okay? I'll tell you, one of the things that I have to watch out for, Miss Cindy will account for this too, is software subscriptions have become insane. There's just all of the, yeah, it's bad. All right, worldly pleasures will make you poor. Worldly pleasures will make you poor. Along the same line, buying things you can't afford will make you poor. Okay? A lot of people barely scrape by, and they live with debt, and they never save money because they're trying to live a lifestyle that they can't afford. So living in too big of a house is a common one. I don't think we see that much around here, but there are a lot of people that insist on having a certain size house in a certain neighborhood, and they can't afford it. It's too much of their income. Or they have to drive a new car, and people spend crazy amounts of money on car payments so they can have a new car and keep up with the Joneses. 20-30% of their income goes to a car payment. It's foolish. I read recently about a couple. I was talking to somebody about this recently. A couple that decided to have a destination wedding in Hawaii. It was not Evan, okay? I don't think he would do this, all right? But they decided to have a destination wedding in Hawaii, and they put the whole thing on credit cards, okay? You want to know what's a recipe for a bad first couple years of marriage is starting with $40,000 in credit card debt for a week in Hawaii, okay? You know, that's a crazy example, but buying things you can't afford, what's the root of that? What's the root of that? It's covetousness. It's pride. It's worldliness. And if the world is doing that, we Christians certainly shouldn't be doing that. Okay? Do things the slow way, the old-fashioned way. Save up for things. Don't buy things that you can't afford. All right, number six. This is one that I've had a problem with. Failure to keep track of your expenses and debts will make you poor. Failure to keep track of your expenses and debts. Proverbs 27, verse 23 says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and to look well to thy herds, for riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation. So principle there. Be diligent. Okay? How many know that a lot of people have a head-in-the-sand financial strategy? And they don't open their mail. They don't open their credit card statements because they're afraid to find, you know, you ask a lot of people, you know, how much debt do you have? What are your monthly expenses? And they don't know. They don't want to know. They're afraid of what they're going to find out. They know it's bad, okay? Sweeping stuff under the rug is not a good long-term strategy. Sticking your head in the sand is not a good strategy for managing your money. How much debt do you have? Do you know that, okay? Do you know the interest rates of the debt that you have? What are the monthly payments? What are your monthly recurring expenses? What are you obligated to pay every month? These are things that you should know, okay? And ignoring these things because they're scary doesn't make them go away. I've read some, like, nobody wants to talk about money. This is like the last thing that anybody wants to talk about in America, because we are such a mess when it comes to finances. But we should know well the state of our flocks. We need to keep track of those things. And in this day and age where you can just buy things with credit cards, buy things with plastic, buy things online, just swipe a card. Forget where I was. Someone was talking about how you can buy stuff with your watch if you have an Apple Watch or with your phone. And it's so cool. It's so convenient, right? And it's really also really easy to lose complete control and track of where your money's going. Okay? Which brings me to number 7. Failure to budget will make you poor. Proverbs 21, verse 20. The Bible says, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. There's treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. There is a wise way to spend your money and a foolish way to spend your money. There's a wise way to steward the things that God's given you and a foolish way to steward the things that God has given you, okay? I think that every family needs to have a budget. A budget. What's a budget? A budget is a plan. That's all it is. It's just a plan for your money. That's all it is. Every time you get paid, you sit down and you give every dollar a plan. You give every dollar a job and you keep track of where your things, what you owe, all right? And you budget your money. I think number one item on your budget should be tithe and offerings, okay? Before anything else, God will bless you for that. Off the top, give it to God. But after that, you need to make a plan for your money every month. How many of you ever heard the phrase before, failing to plan is planning to fail? Okay, and the same thing goes with our finances. There's a company I like that's called You Need a Budget, and they teach budgeting principles. They wrote a book also called You Need a Budget. But they have 4 rules for budgeting that are really good. Number one, give every dollar a job. So every time you get paid, reconcile that to your budget. Number two is embrace your true expenses. What does that mean? Okay, you're going to have to pay to register your car. For me, I think that happens in November is when I have to register my car. Okay, it's like $200 or something. It's not that much, but it's a sizable amount of money. Okay, it shouldn't surprise me in November every year. All right, because it happens every year. Christmas happens every year, right? True expenses. Some things. If you have a washing machine, it is not going to last forever, right? If you have a car, it is going to need repairs at some point. Those are your true expenses. And what most people do is they foolishly ignore any expenses that aren't immediate. And so they're like, oh, I'm budgeting because I'm paying what comes out in a month. But a wise budgeter, wise use of your money is thinking about things that are coming up and putting a little towards your car return or your car registration, putting a little towards repairing appliances, that sort of stuff every month, or every paycheck. Number 3, the third rule is roll with the punches. Sometimes things are going to happen that you don't expect, and you need to be flexible. You need to move things from one category to the other. It's not supposed to be rigid. And then the 4th rule they have is age your money. And what they mean by that is work on establishing a margin so that you're not living paycheck to paycheck, okay? So in our house, what we do, we're not great at this, but we do the envelope system, and we have, every time we get paid, we put some money in a grocery envelope and some money towards eating out, and we put money in for haircuts and money for Christmas and all that stuff, okay? Lots more than that. And I have found that when we stick to that, we do all right. okay? It's not stressful. We're not tearing our hair out. But when somebody, and it's usually me, I'm going to be honest, okay? When my wife is the saver and I'm the spender, when somebody spends money outside of the budget, it creates chaos and stress and pressure, okay? You got to have a budget. Number eight, the last thing here, okay, is failure to save. Failure to save will make you poor. So we just read Proverbs 21:20. Read it again. There's treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Proverbs 6:6-8, we read that earlier. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Well, what are the ways of the ant? It saves. That's the ways of the ant. Okay? Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. So understand some stuff. Okay? Saving wise, you will have big expenses come up. Right? You will have to fix your car. You will have unexpected expenses. Unexpected expenses, most of them are really not unexpected expenses. They're just ignored expenses. But unexpected expenses happen sometimes. Here's something. You will have to retire at some point. Or at least have a significant... your ability to make money is going to significantly narrow at some point. That is going to happen, okay? You will not be able to, in your 80s, work like you did when you were in your 30s. Nobody can do that, all right? That should not be an unexpected expense. It should be something you're planning for and working towards. You're going to have to help your kids, probably, at some point. With their expenses, I'm looking forward to that. Your car's going to break down. You might lose your job at some point. Or get sick and not be able to work for a while. Your washing machine will quit. I don't know why I keep writing that one in here. I hope mine doesn't. Mine quit a couple years ago, so hopefully we're good for a while. Christmases and birthdays are going to come, you know? We have to save. Wise people save for these things. And do so every time they get paid. All right? Dave Ramsey has this thing I think is pretty good. He says that we should have $1,000 in savings. It should be our first goal if you have nothing. And that is your alternative to using a credit card when something bad happens. And then try to get 3 to 6 months of savings after that. 3 to 6 months of expenses saved up. So that would be like 3 to 5 times what you make in a month. And then after that, start saving towards retirement steadily. And that's a good goal. It's a good plan. All right? So let's remind us, what are the things that make us poor? Debt will make you poor. Laziness. Greed. Get-rich-quick schemes. Worldly pleasures. Buying things you can't afford. Failure to keep track of your expenses. Failure to budget, and failure to save, okay? Those are all avoidable things that we can all work towards, and that's all Bible stuff that we can get from the Bible about managing our money. All right, different kind of message today. I was going to say, Brother Harold, come and lead us in a song of invitation, but Brother Harold's not here. So let's all stand together, and we will sing...